is not a test. This is reality.
ZeroPointRadio.com. I'm Clyde Lewis. With the events unfolding in the world right now, it is becoming alarming as to the accuracies of the discussions at the Ground Zero Lounge. If you listen to any of the most recent Ground Zero Lounge shows replayed on this radio station, you will see that everything spoken of at these events is taking place now. If you want accurate information about what is in store for your future, I ask you to remain listening to ZeroPointRadio.com and ask your friends and neighbors to spread the word. We are proud of our programming and want you to rely on it for its compelling and accurate portrayal of what plans are in store for the country. Many of these Ground Zero shows were recorded much earlier in the year. Many of them have been recorded 6 years ago. What Ground Zero talked about in the past is now in your present. And what we are giving you now is not a test. It is the future.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
I'm Clyde Lewis. Let's get louder for the internet so they can hear you out there. Go ahead and get loud for them. ZeroPointRadio.com is broadcasting us tonight. We're very grateful to them for having us on. In fact, they blast us all the time with other great shows out there as well. A lot of great things going on with the network. If you haven't had a chance to take a listen, ZeroPointRadio.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, playing you shows that are more or less informing you what the mainstream won't inform you of. And that is some very interesting stories that are under the radar that don't necessarily get reported. One of the things that was very interesting, that last week I talked about technology and I talked about transmogrification, I talked about transhumanism, and I talked about the idea of robots and how we become more and more like machines. I remember Sotomayor was in the paper. I didn't bring the paper, I should have, but Sotomayor was in the paper. The headline on the Oregonian said, "We are not robots." And not only that, but the government, the military has now said that they have cyber bugs or cy bugs that they're now going to be releasing that will be able to spy on the enemy. And if that doesn't scare you, they now have developed robots that can eat dead bodies. So that was really interesting. The last week we had talked about robots that were flesh-eating robots, robots that could eat bacon, robots that could eat flies, robots that could eat mice. Now they can eat dead bodies. So it seems that we are plunging our way into the future with a lot of strange things. And at Ground Zero, we talk about those strange things. We get a little esoteric, we get a little conspiratorial, we get a little bit weird. And that's what it's all about, because you'll be able to take this to the water cooler, your friends will think you're crazy, but who cares? It's information, and it's not because... Well, it's not always that people believe. It's that they want to know what's going on. And so that's why we talk about it here at the Ground Zero Lounge. Just a reminder how the Ground Zero Lounge works. I don't take kindly to hecklers. I know that a lot of things I talk about may get you angry, may get you feeling weird or uncomfortable and put you out of your comfort zone. That's okay. But I want you, if you are out of your comfort zone, to please come up to one of these microphones. We have a microphone here. We have a microphone here. And those two microphones are for you to express your opinion. If you don't agree with me or if you do agree with me, that's great. Also, if you want to and if you need to and if you feel it necessary to, you can applaud loudly, which is something that we love. Laugh if you need to, because a lot of this stuff can be humorous. Some of it's pretty serious, but we always say, you know, we could be kidding, but we're very serious about what we kid about here at the Ground Zero Lounge. And tonight, well, it's a very, very interesting time because, of course, today marks the 40th anniversary of the moon landing that happened back in 1969. I've already had people talk to me about it because, of course, a lot of people know that I've been interviewed on several national shows, Penn and Teller's Bullshit Show. I did a show with Lewis Black. I've done a few shows talking about how I don't believe we landed on the moon in 1969. A couple people applaud that. A couple people don't applaud that because they feel that it's anti-patriotic. However, tonight's show, while we do touch on the moon landing, I'm not going to go into some diatribe about how I believe we land on the moon in 69, because you've heard it from me before. You've heard my stance on this, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. I know that a lot of people secretly want to know if it really happened, and a lot of people want to have faith that it really happened, because, of course, we're all geeks, and we want to believe. We want to believe that we can go to the far reaches of space. We want to believe that space is the final frontier. We want to hang out with Mr. Spock and all the aliens. But you know what? It just seems to sound a little weird right now, especially when we haven't gone any farther than 250 miles above the planet in the space shuttle. So, you can decide for yourself. We went back in 69, but to me, my faith is dwindling, and I will touch on that a little bit later on in the program. Tonight's show is called When God Pings the Earth. It's a very, very interesting title, especially when you consider pinging means opening up signals and channels to try and figure out if anyone is out there, or if anyone is listening, or if anyone's paying attention. And so I'm going to point out to you that God does ping the Earth, or some being pings the Earth out there in space. I recently read a transcript of a lecture that Stephen Hawking gave about life in the universe, where he covered a myriad of topics. The main core of his lecture was how we as a species can survive the future. He points out that a nuclear war is still one of the most immediate dangers. There's also the destabilizing of the climate. There's also greenhouse gases. There's perhaps a plague that could be released. There's some other things that he talked about that may cause these things, cause us to lose our ground for the future. But one of the things he did talk about was how we have to manipulate ourselves or change ourselves in order to prepare for the future. But one of the things that really got me was that he was saying something about how we need to find a way to change ourselves in order to meet our maker, or in order to meet those aliens out there, okay? Because a lot of people are asking about that, too. They're all talking about disclosure. They're talking about the alien question, whether or not there's life out there. And that we, you know, we're still having problems getting back to the moon, let alone trying to figure out if there are aliens on other planets. And so one of the things that really got me that he said, and this is his quote, this is from Stephen Hawking, he says, why is the galaxy not crawling with self-designing mechanical or biological life forms? Why hasn't the Earth been visited and even colonized? I discount suggestions that UFOs contain beings from outer space. I think any visits by aliens would be much more obvious and probably also much more unpleasant. I have to agree with Stephen Hawking about the unpleasantness of having an alien race come to this planet. I'm not a New Age guru or a New Age believer that the aliens are here to save us. I've always said on my shows, I think the aliens, if they come down at all, are here to eat us. I think they're going to come down and they're going to find us and they're going to want to eat us for lunch. That's how aliens operate. Because they, you know, my opinion is that it's not a spiritual thing. There's more to it than that. If you look at ancient civilizations and what is recorded in history, you will see that much of what Hawking speculates about the aliens is true, and I think a lot of what I say about aliens is true. Beings that are reported to be watching us do not necessarily have to give a shit about whether or not we live or breathe. They don't have to care about us. Everybody thinks they do, but they don't have to. Our cosmic heritage is developed into religious lineage. People have a religious thought form with regards to alien beings in regards to space. And yeah, because we pray to a God in heaven, and that always seems to get in the way of some of the stuff, the dogmatic perspectives we deal with angels and demons and are told that God controls all of it. Well, the reality may be far more complex than just God, angels, and demons. In fact, it may be far more blasphemous than you want to even realize. It may be more than angels and demons and God and Jesus and the happiness that everybody feels when they talk about those subjects. People always say that it is arrogant to believe that we are the only intelligent life forms in the universe. But I think it's also arrogant for us to believe that we, as a race or a group of people, think that aliens give a shit about us. It really is. I mean, think about it. Oh, the aliens care about me. That's why they fly their little UFOs over my city. No, they don't care. In fact, there is actually a book by Arthur C. Clarke called Rendezvous with Rama, which is basically a spaceship that wants to go to the sun, refuel, and leave, and we have to board it and basically take it over because we wonder why they don't want to communicate with us. We send a communication, and the aliens don't want to communicate. We end up all offended. We want to take over the ship and kill everybody because, hey, why don't they want to talk to us? We want to know where they are. See, that's the point. You know, just because we believe that there's intelligent life out there doesn't necessarily mean that they care about us. I mean, we want to believe that those observers who are out there want to befriend us, maybe even help us. But religion says that God in heaven is loving, God in heaven is there, and he intervenes. Well, yeah, okay. If you look at the powers of heaven anciently, they're pretty vengeful, and they treated mankind with utter disdain. Take a look at the Old Testament. It's pretty scary. The truth is that God is an alien. He has made it quite clear that there are powers out there that can be used to render consequence, to make a point. He's basically, if there is a God, he's basically thrown all kinds of shit our way, from tsunamis, earthquakes, and tidal waves to, what, meteors, comets, you name it. The earth has gone through a lot. And we can blame that on God if we want, or we can blame it on aliens if we want, but the truth is, it's there. And here's another thing you need to realize. Intelligent life is not an inevitable consequence of evolution on every inhabitable planet. Just because there are beings out there that may have had a hand in our evolution does not mean that their hand or guidance was there for our own good. Perhaps a barrier was placed between intelligence and the origins of our gods. Perhaps the beings we are asking to communicate with are actually without morality and see us as animals ready to eat. We ask for disclosure about the alien presence, and perhaps we've not evolved enough to even discern who, what, or why is anything out there. I listen to shows like Coast to Coast AM. I listen to shows where people come on the radio and they say, we want the government to come clean on the alien issue. We want the government to come clean on space. Yeah, okay. You want to find out the truth about the alien issue. What if the alien issue is far more horrific than you would realize, and if you found out, you'd probably not want to leave your house? Because, quite frankly, I don't see the point if they're vicious like God has been in the Old Testament to the Hebrews. Okay? I don't think it's wise that we should kick or nudge or try to communicate with these beings as much as we'd like to. Go ahead.
Well, I would disagree. I would say even if they are that way, let us know. Let us as a species know what our true place and what the universe is really all about so we can grow into it.
So you would love to hear about it even if it was hostile?
Definitely. Okay. And I think as a species it would do us well to know. Just for each of us individually to grow and to understand that this universe is far more complex than we've been led to believe, and which has got us put in these little tiny bodies worrying about bullshit all the time.
Right.
You know, I think open it up. Let us know the true reality.
There is, I don't know if you've read Childhood Zen by Arthur C. Clarke.
Oh, yeah.
But in that book, once we find out that the aliens exist, they're called the overlords or the overseers. Once we find out they exist, science stops, religion stops, everything stops.
Well, I think that's ridiculous. I don't think that would happen.
Oh, well, think about it, though. If they found out tomorrow that aliens were out there, we'd want to know about the aliens, and we'd have to stop our sciences to figure out what's going on with their sciences.
I disagree. We have to continue. We have to evolve our own sciences to get up to that point.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what are we going to do? We're just going to stop?
Well, religion would stop, don't you think? Or people would start worshiping the aliens?
Well, perhaps that'd be okay.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe we let go of organized religion, we might be in a better spot.
We could be. But maybe they're the ones that... Give him a hand for that, by the way. That was good. It is claimed that man set foot on the moon back in 1969, and this should have been our first step in being aware of our cosmic heritage, but it certainly does not have the reverence you've come to expect for such an event. I know a lot of people are excited about the 40th anniversary of the moon landing tonight, and a lot of people are talking about it, but I really, really, really don't think that it's all that important. The 40th anniversary feels good, but sooner or later, it's all going to be forgotten again. Go ahead.
Thank you. Aliens do exist, but we're calling them the wrong thing. Aliens are unclean spirits.
Okay. And aliens were spoke about in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And now that America mostly reads Harry Potter, and that's fine, and I live in Oregon and Portland, and I'm a military individual that's soon to get kicked out because the military is overpopulated, and I'm okay with that because I'm old, and, you know, I can't really fight, but I can do this. And by the time most of you get my age, there won't be none of this. And what that man over there said is what I'm trying to tell you is that we mislabel it, because I have thought unclean spirits is a child, and they do exist. But most Americans walk by sight, not by faith.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things, before we had the microscope, we didn't know atoms existed.
Right.
Okay? All
right.
This is temporary. Okay?
Sure. Right.
We're all related. 9/11. If you didn't wear a turban, you were American.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, you know, 30 days later, we got arrogant, blah, 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 blah.
Sure. Thank you for that. Thank you. Give him a hand for that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Back to the moon landing. You know, here's something I wanted to point out to you. While everybody else is all excited about it, the astronauts and NASA themselves really don't give a shit. Think about this. We talked about the tapes. Remember those tapes we talked about? And then they all of a sudden conveniently show up. Come to find out, NASA finally admitted that they erased them. Yeah. The most important event in our history destroyed by the same people who allegedly put the whole show on. Not only that, Neil Armstrong did not show up for the 40th anniversary event. Said, I don't want to show up and I don't care. Buzz Aldrin, when asked to talk about the moon landing, Buzz Aldrin said, if you pay me, I'll talk about it. But until then, I'm going to talk about my drunken binges, my mother's suicide, and everything else that happened after the moon landing. But I'm certainly not going to talk about when I set foot on the moon. Now, you take a look at that. And then, of course, this article came out today. Apollo astronauts bemoan the state of the U.S. space program. Okay? Our space program is in the shitter. The astronauts don't care. The moon landing tapes get erased, and they come back and they say, hey, we're going to show you, though, some things. We're going to show you that the moon landing happened. You know, there's no it's not remarkable anymore. For some reason, it's lost its appeal. And it's obvious that something inside of us wants to look beyond the moon and wants to know of our origins, and many question if mankind comes out of nowhere or from out there. And that we're being kept from knowing about our cosmic history. And NASA is part of that. You know, the human race has a cosmic history. Mankind, hopefully, will find itself at a place in time where that cosmic history will have to be honored in order for us to understand what the real purpose of our existence is. Most of us have found that purpose through various religious beliefs and practices. However, digging deeper beyond the mainstream dogma is the hidden history. Truth that somehow is escaping us in this time. It is vital that we have a hint or a clue about what is in store for the planet cosmically. Go ahead, and we'll get to Bob.
The other theory of the moon that should be explored, which I believe in, is that we did go there.
Mm-hmm.
We found something that was far advanced, whether something from the past or the future or whatever.
Right.
And that we were in no uncertain terms told, you guys aren't ready, you go back and keep working on your thing there.
It could be that way. Very good. Give him a hand for that, because that's true. Could be that way. Go ahead.
I was going to say we weren't necessarily told that they decided. In fact, you know, I for a long time have been with Clyde on the idea that we hadn't been there. But lately I've been listening and studying some stuff that makes me take on the possibility that perhaps we actually did go there and we found stuff that was so out there that the meme was deliberately put into this society that we didn't go as a diversion, that they wanted us to worry, that conspiratologists to worry we didn't go there, where in fact they're simply trying to hide what they actually found up there.
Yeah, and that's another
thing too.
They
don't want us looking at that.
If they're hiding that, I think what it reveals is our origins, and some of those origins aren't going to be popular with mainstream America or the world for that matter. Go ahead.
And don't take the moon for granted. There are so many unusual things about the moon, one of which is, speaking of the mission, when they dropped the booster rocket, when they had to take off to get back to their the module that was orbiting so they'd get home, they dropped this booster on the moon, And it rang and rang and rang for days.
Yeah, now they're planning on blowing a six-mile crater into it. I'm worried that that's going to cause some ringing as well. Go ahead quickly.
In fact, whether we were there or not, I am of the absolute opinion that the moon is an artificial satellite.
Yeah, very much so.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, somebody anciently made it. Give Bob a hand for contributing. That's good, too. Now, of course, we all know about our spiritual side to our existence, but for clarity's sake, let's stick to the physical part of our appearance on Earth, our sudden appearance on Earth as a species some 180,000, 250,000 years ago. And when I say sudden, I say it because we really haven't got any dramatic physical evolutionary changes since that spark, which makes it hard for us all to comprehend the idea that evolution is slowly taking place and we are destined to become something more than human. More and more, we are seeing scientists and theorists say that mankind must make some serious decisions about our place in space and time. They are speculating that our origins are shaping our attitudes about future events. Various ancient scripts as old as 5,800 years old record what sounds like genetic manipulation and cloning by advanced beings who settled on Earth and cloned humankind as a servant or slave species. We have the same abilities in the 21st century to do the same thing, yet some people doubt that advanced humans could have lived on other planets and have done such things on Earth. The process of the method and the pathway of evolution cycles go through, and the evolutionary transcendence, according to the oral and written histories, usually appears before a major shift in the paradigm. What I'm getting at is that we, as a people, usually have intervention in some respect. We have transmogrification or change in the evolutionary balance, and then something disastrous happens to the planet. It's the way it works. It's the way it's been through history. We have intervention, change, disaster. So let's go back in history a little bit and talk about primitive man. From this mythological Eden we read about in the Bible, our hominid mothers were plucked from civilization and manipulated by extraterrestrial beings. Now, that sounds absolutely crazy, doesn't it? Well, not necessarily, because if you look at some of the writings of history, we're talking ancient writings of history, a lot of what is talked about in ancient writings that aren't canonized by any religious organization basically point out the fact that histories have been written and the information is there to state that, yes, we had been sparked by some sort of intervention. And it was in 1947 that an Arab boy found what is known as the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Qumran texts. Now, these texts illustrated in great detail the actual relationships between earth women in creation and beings who came down from the skies. Their offspring were considered to be giant in size. However, it can also be said that the offspring of the beings and the hominids had greater knowledge, which caused the heads of these beings to grow. Okay, we're all like Steve Quayle looking for the giants in the Nephilim. Truth is, I don't think they were very giant at all. What had happened is that the bodies of the primitive beings were frail and small, and the heads were frail and small because of intelligence. What happened is during the hybridization, we saw changes in the body form. Coming from the apple, the knowledge. Knowledge meant health, meant all kinds of things, knowledge of mortality. And so what had happened was, in the biblical story we hear of Adam and Eve, the metaphor, creation, cloning methods, etc. The reason why I say cloning methods is, remember, God made Eve from the rib of Adam, right? So what's that? He took a piece of a man, made a woman out of her. That is a cloning procedure. And there are many other cloning procedures and fertility procedures that you read about in the Bible as well. And you read about them in the Qumran texts and how they were done. And they were done through cloning, and they're done through all kinds of other DNA sciences that we now can do today. But they were done by the gods before, okay? So you hear also about a reptile or a snake or a viper or whatever you want to call it comes into the garden, gives them knowledge, okay? Gives them knowledge, and what happens? The fall happens, or even Adam and Eve get shunned out of the Garden of Eden, or the Garden of Eden gets destroyed. Okay? So what happens, if you go to the Qumran texts, you start reading about how the body of the offspring of Adam and Eve got bigger. That means that there was some sort of a hybridization going on. If you read the Genesis Apocryphon, which is in the Qumran, it says, there was an increase of pain during childbearing. With great sorrow, children were born unto women. And then if you read in Genesis 3:16, it says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be their husband who shall rule over you, etc., etc., etc. Basically stating that, yes, the bodies of the child, the bodies of the children were bigger, the heads were bigger, and it caused pain. Two books are removed from the Bible were the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher. They were backed up and translated from the Qumran scrolls and state in great detail that prior to a great catastrophe on the planet Earth, there was a revolutionary or an evolutionary change that happened in a cycle of several thousands of years. In the case of the book of Enoch, there were reports of the Watchers or the Gregori, an extraterrestrial race that gave knowledge to primitive man and mated with the women in order to propagate a hybrid species. The beings later on were called the Nephilim. This is from the book of Genesis. It says, when men began to multiply on earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw how beautiful the daughters of men were. So they took for them wives, as many of them as they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not remain in man forever, since he is but flesh. His days shall comprise 120 years. At that time, the Nephilim appeared on earth, as well as later, after the sons of God had intercourse with the daughters of men who bore them sons. They were the heroes of old, the men of renown. Basically stating that aliens had a hand in our creation. Okay? There were other beings known as the Ben Elohim. Many more visited and gave knowledge to mankind. Man evolved into his next phase of existence with the help of these beings, and they were given simple machines and tools in order to build and grow. Other beings came along, too. They further taught human charges, the arts. They taught them everything else. It's kind of like Prometheus in the whole story of the fire being delivered. It's the same history. Histories repeat over and over again. We hear about that. Also, some of the things about raising the dead and healing the sick and all these other things gave word to the vampire reports. If you read in some of the Old Testament stuff, it talks about werewolves and vampires. You just got to know where to look for it. In fact, Moses sent out men and they saw these giant beings who ate each other. Now, here's something interesting. I found a satellite poster, a satellite picture rather, that shows that around 6,000 years ago, about 2,300 years BCE, there was actually a meteor or some sort of a collision that happened with the Earth in about southern Iraq. And if you take a look at the 3-kilometer-wide meteor hit, and about the same time, you start reading things like the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Bible, you read several other things, the Curse of Akkad. What you're seeing, you're hearing about civilizations disappearing at this time. They start going away, and they start being destroyed. And if you take a look at it, it's kind of like the idea of God pinging the earth. We have an asteroid collision in southern Iraq in 2300 BCE, the Great Flood of the Earth, that's Noah's time, 2349 BCE, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Curse of Akkad was 2200 BCE, archaeological findings show that in the space of a few centuries, many sophisticated civilizations disappeared. The kingdom in Egypt fell to ruin. The Akkadian culture of Iraq also went away. Several civilizations just disappeared after this time. Gone. After they received all this knowledge, they wiped themselves out. They were completely gone. Now, either it was an act of God or something else happened. Now, if you use science fiction as a metaphor, from the mind of Arthur C. Clarke, we see a humming, mysterious, monolithic stone slab, a technological machine belonging to aliens in space, one of hundreds of such monoliths sent to Earth to test, teach, and transform the apes into higher orders, intelligent beings. Once the ape touches the slab, his mental awareness increases, and then we take a look further. Later in the day, the monkey realizes that he can take a bone and turn it into a weapon or a tool. Okay? It shows how we progress. It shows how things happen, how you touch something and you take an evolutionary step or leap toward being more like human. Process where the message was sent from a higher intelligence and was received, causing change in the mind, which was the God power influence, the God realization that I talked about before. The monolithic God gives primitive hominid the knowledge to create weapons and tools. So is it always good for the intervention to happen? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on how you look at it. Go ahead.
You talked about things disappearing. I'd just like to point out the original tapes of the moon landing got taped over.
Mm-hmm.
So that shows you our advanced intelligence as a species.
Exactly. Thank you. That's good. We're monkeys still. You know, he used the tools man did to build monoliths of his own, from towers to great buildings and edifices. You see them all the time. But then, of course, the alien gods came down and said, screw you, we're going to destroy them all. So what did man do? He built churches with crosses and all kinds of symbols on them. Why? Because he was saying to God, don't kill me. I've been killed. My friends and family have died in plagues. They've been killed off so many times. The earth has been destroyed over so many times. Don't kill me now. So we create religions to protect man from being killed by what? An alien god that's just pissed off. Man then made observations and looked into the skies to look to track out the places where the gods lived. During this time, man also discovered time and developed calendars based on the sun, moon, and all the movements of the stars. If you take a look at Stonehenge, that's an active calendar, and they use it. They can still use it today. It's an interesting thing that they built it. They really don't know how they built it, but it has been built, and it is a calendar, and that's what's and it's really interesting to track. The focus today, though, is on the Mayan calendar, what is known as the long count, where the calendar keeps time until a date that has been determined by sometime in the latter part of 2012. Now, there have been a number of astrologers and New Age philosophers that have somehow determined that the calendar has ended on December 21st, 2012. This is the day of the winter solstice. Now, I'm about to reveal you some very interesting information. December 21st, 2012 has been presented as predetermined doomsday when allegedly the world is going to come to an end. Now, you can't escape the countless theories and the end of days quarrels about the important date of our future. Now, take a look at this. It's important to point out that people like Terence McKenna and John Jenkins, just some of the few, have spoken about this long count thing. It's actually called the long count. It isn't called 2012 doomsday. It's the long count. One of the things that's interesting about the long count is that there's another date that we need to be concerned with, and I'm going to point that date out to you right now. According to the Mayans, the end of the creation cycle commences on October 28th, 2011, not December 21st, 2012. It starts a year before and peaks in December of 2012. So you got a full-on year of shit to take care of if that's what's going to happen. Okay? And one of the things that's interesting about this October 28, 2012 is that we move into an area of the zodiac that one time was devoted to a character who was known as the serpent bearer or the serpent god. Many others call this the zodiac sign, or actually the zodiac area called the dark rift, or the area where it's darkest. The ancient gods of the Maya and similar cultures were flying serpents or dragons, were talked about all the time. They worshipped them, but it turned out it may have been comets, it may have been meteors streaking across the sky, and it caused extinction-level events. The entire solar system revolves around a central sun, which in turn revolves around a galactic center of the Milky Way. The galactic center is 26,000 light-years from our sun and is actually a black hole. A hole that vacuums up everything, light, matter, compresses it down. It is referred to as zero point. It is in this area where the 13th house of the zodiac existed before it was removed. It is an area of no time. It is the house of Ophiuchus. Remember the word Ophiuchus, because this is going to be an interesting character talked about again. The area of Ophiuchus is situated between Sagittarius and Scorpius. Although he is not incorporated in the 12 signs of the zodiac, he was used in the zodiac to point out certain areas and markers within space where they thought God lived. God, allegedly, back to the ancients, lived in the center of the Milky Way, or the center of the universe, known as the Dark Rift. And he existed in the house of Ophiuchus. Not very many people know this. And the way Ophiuchus would speak, he would speak loudly with cataclysms. Whenever Ophiuchus would move, or when we move towards Ophiuchus, it was the cataclysmic cycle that we were in. Go ahead.
I believe another way to look at this is the point, 2012, 2011 starting, is the point where the Milky Way is pointing towards what we owe our understanding of is the center of the universe.
Ophiuchus. Yeah, exactly. Pointing to the center of the universe, Ophiuchus. Now, here's what's really interesting. Magnitude 9.3 earthquake that occurred in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Sumatra in Malaysia on December 26, 2004 was one of the most devastating quakes ever recorded. It caused a powerful tsunami which devastated coastal regions of many countries, leaving over 240,000 people dead or missing. It was declared a disaster of biblical proportions. 44 hours later, scientists reported that a gamma ray burst happened between Scorpius and Sagittarius, in the area of the house of Ophiuchus. Okay? This is where it took place. A gamma burst came from out of nowhere, and we had an earthquake in Sumatra, Indonesia, which was the most powerful of earthquakes. It knocked the earth off its axis just a little bit and caused the earth to ring for several months. That's how big this was. And this gamma burst was the biggest gamma burst we ever had in the Earth's history. And it came from Ophiuchus. Okay? In fact, this gamma ray burst was so big that it caused radio waves to fluctuate. They said that the gamma burst came from Sagittarius and Scorpio. An evidence of God pinging the Earth, who knows, but it did cause earthquakes here on the land. Every year, go ahead quickly.
Ophiuchus, I'm sure the English interpretation of that is actually, oh, fuck us.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah, give him a hand for that one. We'll call it, oh, fuck us. Every year between November 22nd and December 25th, the sun passes through the constellations of, oh, fuck us. From our perspective here on the Earth, many of us recognize this as the holiday season. It is interesting to also note that we celebrate the birth of a healer, a savior, in this time. The thing about Ophiuchus is interesting, is that Ophiuchus is also considered a healer and a savior. Why? Because he destroys everything and then comes and heals us and saves us, which is an interesting point. Also, too, one of the things that's interesting about the Star of Bethlehem is the star itself did not appear in the time that it said, during the times of Ophiuchus. It appeared in the age of Pisces, which was in the springtime in March at the foot of Ophiuchus, which means that the foot of Ophiuchus played a great part in the recognizing of Jesus or whomever being born. It's also interesting to note that this Savior, Jesus Christ, had selected 12 disciples to be part of his ministry. One of those disciples betrayed him. He was Judas. The 13th house is Ophiuchus. 13. The whole Zodiac thing comes into perspective, doesn't it? There's 12 houses of the Zodiac. 13 disciples, one betrayed, remove Ophiuchus. But then we replace him with Matthias, and what happens? We have Jesus as the 13th. So we have Ophiuchus the 13th in the house, Jesus the 13th in the house. It's kind of an interesting parallel. The one that was removed, okay, the serpent holder, definitely so. A more concise 13-month calendar has been proposed as well. We were going to have 13 months of the year, but the Catholic Church says, oh, that's a pagan thing, we don't want it. 13 months would have been more concise because we would have had, actually, 13 months with 4 weeks, 28 days, totaling up to 364 days. But we don't have that, but we should. And we may have that if 2012 happens, because we'll have to respect Ophiuchus. See, the Mayans also equate the birth of Ophiuchus with the birth of Christ. And that's from the historical perspective, not from the religious perspective. Okay, Christian legends and myth all correlate around the arrival or the passing through Ophiuchus, which I find very interesting. Take a look at the symbol of Ophiuchus. That is his symbol. It's like the Caduceus. I heard somebody say it's like the Caduceus. Now take a look at the crucifix. It's the same symbol. The symbol of death, life, and resurrection. Okay? And Ophiuchus is a symbol of death, life, and resurrection as well. He is the symbol of the healer, the cross with the snake hanging on it. The god, the sun god, hanging on the pole. This has happened long before Christ even came in the picture. Go ahead.
I just met somebody from the Kali Yuga culture, our Indian brothers and sisters, East Indian, and somebody from Ramakrishna organization. And in their current literature, they talk about God as G-O-D, the giver, the operator, and the destroyer. And this is, in their opinion, Kali Yuga time. This is when it ends.
Right. Very good. Give him a hand for that. Always think of this. It's a coincidence as well that 2012 is a major time in our... It's going to be a major time in our lifetimes. When Ophiuchus moves into the picture, destruction happens, and they change time and evolution. When Jesus came on the scene, we changed the dates as well. We went from B.C. to A.D. So it's the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. It's the year when our Lord came into the picture and when he died. Ophiuchus has the same references. The time of the long count will begin in October 2011 with its peak in December 2012. It is predicted to be the most significant astrological event in history. Now take a look at these symbols. It'll be an alignment of the Earth, the Sun, and several planets, which creates a cross in the middle of galactic central point. The ancient symbol you see is the symbol of the crossing of the galaxies and the planets. It is a symbol of the zodiac, and it also is a representation of the Celtic cross. The cross and the snake hanging on that cross is an ancient symbol signifying the crossing of the planets into the dark rift of galactic central point. Okay? That is why that symbol exists. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It has everything to do with passing through the constellation Ophiuchus. It has everything to do with the disasters and cataclysms that exist, that have existed prior to what's going on now. There were reported earthquakes. There were reported floods. There were reported rocks of fire coming from the skies when Christ was crucified. There are reports of the same things in cycles of 26,000 years when Earth passed through the dark rift. So there you go. The symbolism is the same. The stories are just different. Go ahead.
A couple of points, if I may.
Sure.
First of all, I think humans are just starting to realize that everything is alive. The Earth is a being. It is an entity. It is aware, much more aware than we are. The universe is alive. So these symbols are simply things that have been transferred to us by beings that have no other way to communicate with us, because we're so stupid that it takes us a while to figure out what's going on. And so that's why you think, well, gee, how could they have known way back when or whatever? There are other entities, energies, that are providing intelligence to us. We are just becoming aware of them now.
Right. And we have to be aware of the symbols and the memes. Yeah, give them a hand. The symbols and the memes and everything else. Quickly.
I disagree. I believe that is simple. I believe humans make it complicated. Every one of you have went somewhere and something felt in you that don't turn down that block. And then you get stopped and not having a license. Also, I feel that we ain't getting it. The answer ain't in Obama or Hillary. There is a higher power, people. You look at St. Helens, Mount Hood, and we can't keep people from coming to Portland. Portland was the best-kept secret in America. When you told people about Portland 30 years ago, they said Portland, Maine. And now, look at us. We want to develop Forest Park.
Nobody's arguing about a higher power. I think the question is how does that higher power reveal itself?
Yeah, how does it
Through us.
And if we're listening, that's the whole point. If we're listening,
it's not the stories we've been told. It's your inner expression of understanding that,
right.
We're just becoming aware of it.
I don't want to come up here. I can look at you and tell you I don't want to hear what I have to say, okay?
That's not true.
But you're not violent.
No.
But I will die for every one of you in here to have your opinion.
Okay.
And you guys think there's going to be some type of perfect society, utopia, and it's not going to exist.
Oh, I don't think we think that at all. That's why we're trying to discuss this.
What we're expressing is exactly what you were saying. There are people begging outside, laying on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
We have degraded to the point where this particular evolutionary phase is going to be turned up, like a volcano.
That's exactly what I'm getting to.
Erupts. That soil is the richest soil.
Let me get to the end of this, and then if you guys want to talk, because I got to get to the end. We're running way beyond time, and I got to get this done. So let me just tell you, metaphorically speaking, you take a look at all the symbolism with the Ophiuchus moving into the dark rift, which is what we're going to be doing soon. You take a look at it, and it could very well be attributed to what is known as the Second Coming, because it really is the Second Coming. It's the second arrival of Ophiuchus into the dark rift of the galaxy. You take a look at all the symbolism and the memes, and you take a look at, you know, Christianity's negative attempt at saying that the serpent is bad. But what the serpent is going to give you is he's going to give you knowledge. The serpent holder is going to give you knowledge of your existence and of your evolutionary change. That is the point of the Ophiuchus metaphor, is that we are about to go through a time of change knowledge-wise, emotion-wise, and physically, and Stephen Hawking mentioned this, and he said that once that happens, it is up to us to pay attention to our roles here on this planet cosmically. Exactly. So, this is the thing. It's the moon landing, people. 40 years ago, we allegedly landed on the moon. The problem is that the astronauts and everybody else don't give a shit. It's unremarkable. It is fucking remarkable. It's our future. And if we don't pay attention to it, then we're going to end up just like Adam and Eve. We're going to end up like the ancient cultures. We're going to have a fall from grace, and we are sitting ducks, and that's what's going to be going on. You see, if you take a look at the ancient script, it talks about what? A flaming sword hitting the planet, changing things. A flaming sword could very well have been represented by a comet or a meteor hitting the planet. Now, can we speculate that if you take out the Bible and look at it, it's not really the Word of God. What it is a disaster manual. It basically relates disasters and how you can avoid them. This is our experience with catastrophe. We're going to talk about catastrophe. We were visited by beings and they told us, oh, by the way, we're destroying your city, Sodom and Gomorrah. We were visited by beings who told us to eat of the fruit and destroyed our paradise, Adam and Eve. We were told that we had a Savior come into the picture and he was supposed to be here and help us and love us and care for us, but we killed him, Jesus Christ. It's all about disasters. It's all about metaphors, and it's all about moving through these times in the universe. That is where we have to look, beyond our feet and into the heavens. If we take a look at the book of the Apocalypse, the book of the Apocalypse is also an echo of what happened in the book of Genesis. The earth was without form or void. Genesis is the end of the Bible, not the beginning. It is where everything was destroyed and the people had to rebuild it again. It went through the dark rift, and it will go through the dark rift again. It's like a Planet of the Apes movie. It keeps going and going and going and going. Constantly evolving from ape to man to ape. That's how it is. It's just interesting to note that if you take a look at the Norse description of the end of the world called Ragnarok, you take a look at Thor, he basically beats up Jormungand, For the fate of the world. It's a big dragon. You take a look at the book of Revelation, Michael does the same thing with the great dragon and bruises his head. Now here's something that you really need to understand about 2012. From October 28th, 2011 to December 21st, 2012, astronomers tell us that the sun's path will visually intersect with the galactic equator, something that happens once every 26,000 years, and that the Mayans identify this as the rising of the sacred tree of life. This forms a kind of celestial crossroads where the sun in autumnal equinox and winter solstice converges with the center of our galaxy. Ophiuchus leads into Sagittarius. Sagittarius' spear points directly into the head and the eye of the snake that is held by Ophiuchus. It's the fulfillment of an astrological prophecy that John the Revelator saw on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation. Michael, with his sword, pierces the eye, the head of the serpent. I'm not shitting you. And it's going to happen between October and December 2011 to 2012. The head of the serpent will be pierced by Sagittarius. Most of the things that talk about in the Bible are astrological. Okay? And it's metaphor. The metaphors, the memes, the signs, and the wonders in the skies are going to be happening, okay? And we need to get our asses off the ground and fly into outer space. Thank you for that. Give us a hand for that. While many people will tell you that the events of the long count will be inconsequential to our lives like the Y2K incident, the implications, all the coincidences are stunning. The memes, too persistent, common and substantial to ignore and dismiss as meaningless or accidental. Astronomers present that the effects of the precession will, after the magnetic polarity of the sun, combining with gravitational forces from the simultaneous alignment of other planets, will cause massive solar flares, could move the Earth off axis, not to mention energy transmissions released upon our solar system by it aligning with galactic central point. Mayan prophecy claims that during this time, a realignment will synchronize us with cycles of nature, mutate us, and accelerate our evolution. According to the Mayans, we shall see the serpent ropes descend from heaven, and they will heal us after the tumultuous times. Remember, The Mayan calendar is based on galactic astrology cycles. These are cycles involving the stars such as the Pleiades. The Mayan calendar cycles are not limited to the planets of our solar system, nor are they limited to the laws governing calendars that are created or canonized by controlling religious authorities. These ancient calculations are not any respecters of time proposed at later intervals in our society. The secrets of the Mayan calendars were given after encounters with the gods. The date of December 21st, 2012 is merely a date that has been calculated to generate an estimated 0 point and has been used as a tool to generate revenue for global sustainability, religious leaders, and governments. Why did they make this calendar? The reason why was because the Mayans had to do it in order to survive. They needed to know how their gods were positioning themselves in the stars, because the stars controlled their harvests, controlled their birth rates, controlled their women, and controlled all things. This is why, if we neglect outer space, and if we have the attitude that some of those astronauts have copped, if we have the attitude of Obama not wanting to fund the space programs, we could very well wind up like the Mayans. And there's a reason why our calendars are ending in 2012, is because we haven't gotten off our asses and blasted off into space to find out what's out there so we can inhabit those areas and avoid any kind of cataclysm. The whole thing is that knowing our space and our cosmic heritage keeps us maintained with the presence of God, if God exists. The Mayans and other ancient civilizations were primitive, but they knew how to map the cosmos. Their relationship with the gods depended on this, and that's why they did it. And that's why I can't understand why we don't have any reverence. I mean, 40 years ago, space travel and the fascination of landing man on the moon was a major step, and now the giant leap has gone nowhere. Constellation, NASA's program to return a man on the moon by 2020, eventually put someone on Mars, was George W. Bush's answer to the Kennedy Apollo situation, but it's now under budgetary review by the Obama administration. The plans to move forward and explore distant worlds has been placed on hold. We may not even get off the ground. They even named the new rocket for the mission Ares, naming it after the god of war, forfeiting the use of names that mean moral excellence, like Challenger, Discovery, or Endeavor. Neil Armstrong doesn't even want to talk about the mission he did 40 years ago. Buzz Aldrin just wants to talk about the alcoholic binges he went on after his trip. The shuttle program is getting ready to be shelved, and the space program is simply disappearing. Don't you find it a little bit ironic that this is happening, especially now, in this time? Go ahead.
I find it interesting that when I first came up here tonight, you took the position that the people couldn't handle that. The information. That's why they didn't tell us yet. Here you are giving out as good of information as I've heard in a long time about what's coming and might be happening. And, you know, I firmly believe that it's the elite of this world who have controlled this information. And there's a reason they don't give it to the masses, because if the masses really knew what was going on, they would throw the elite off with a simple shrug of the shoulders.
They should, because I give him a hand for that. They should do that. Yeah. I find it ironic that this is all happening, that they're basically looking at a space program, because I believe this. Wouldn't it be prudent for mankind to speed the process of space exploration and colonizing as we hear about global warming and certain catastrophes awaiting for us in the wings? We are constantly being warned that the planet is doomed, that climate change will affect our way of life drastically. Wouldn't it be logical to say that whatever damage has been done is done, and whatever damage that has been done will not be able to be changed, so we have to find ways to help ourselves get out of the rut we're in? The best thing to do, I think, would be to find places where we can seed human forms in the cosmos elsewhere. That would be a plan for survival now, wouldn't it? And according to the Bible, which we've now discovered is nothing more than a handbook for disaster preparation and for catastrophes, we hear about Noah. We hear about Noah building an ark. We hear about Noah building an ark to avoid a flood and disaster on the planet. Well, here's something interesting. If you read the book of Enoch, which I pointed out in the Qumran text, you read the book of Enoch, Enoch was his great-grandfather. Enoch allegedly went up into a spaceship for 300 years and got to know the aliens pretty damn well and came back with plans on how to build a ship to get off the planet. That's according to the Book of Enoch and the Book of the Watchers. Do you think that maybe he never got a chance to build that, and that he gave Noah the plans to build that, and that he taught Noah the sciences, DNA, putting things together, animals on the thing, and blasting it off into the cosmos and then coming back down on a mountain? Could have happened. Could have been more advanced than we realized. If you read the Bible like it's a science fiction book, yeah, that could happen. It could very well be the truth. But he gave those plans to Noah about an impending cataclysm, about an impending meteor hitting, and the whole thing would turn into a flood. I think we would probably want to get off this planet. Go ahead.
If you want to have two animals or two of everything, I don't think you'd want to have the physical thing on the ship, right?
Right, and I think that maybe it was DNA samples.
Exactly.
I think the account in the Chinese writings are that some man was able to create the sciences. Space is not our final frontier, it's the new frontier. It is time to consider that the next astronaut sent into space should have a one-way ticket and will be selected to be the next neogenic Adam and Eve with physical alterations in order for them to survive the journey. They would have to be nestled in artificial wombs and born into their new world like children. They would have with them biological samples of human DNA and other building blocks to ensure that life continues to flourish in the vastness of space. That is a future I could look to. Not this bullshit about how we can fight over budgetary problems. Because if we don't jump off this rock, the human race could face total extinction when God decides to ping the Earth again.
I just thought of a great game show.
What's that?
Who wants to get off of the Earth alive?
Hey, they already have a new show coming out on the Discovery Channel about a group of people that have to survive a pretend plague. They're already preparing for the idea of pretend plague. Something else I wanted to point out to you tonight. I sent out an article. It's posted on K-Rock's Radio 1 at ZeroPointRadio.com. I wrote an article called Kool-Aid 666, and what it is that for those of you that don't know, they now have classified the H5N1 vaccine, and they've given it a regulatory number. The regulatory number for both the U.S. and the United Kingdom, the European Union, is U.S. 666 and EU 666.
H5N1.
It's the bird flu. The next one is the H1N1. They're going to have that ready. They have the winter flu virus that they are already packaging. The H5N1 that they already packaged that has a biodefense code of U.S. 666 and EU 666. And they're going to have the H1N1, they still have to get it approved by the FDA.
999?
Yeah, 999, something like that. Quick, Mike?
I got some quick advice. I don't think anybody should take this fucking thing. If somebody tries to force me to take this vaccine, people are going to fucking die.
Wow. Just want to let you know that some of the ingredients in the vaccine are pretty scary. Aluminum. Also, there's a fertilizer in there and something else that I forgot that's really bad for your body that's in there as well. Mercury's in there. Yeah.
How are we supposed to get rid of our toxic waste if we don't dump it into our vaccine?
That's true. Quickly, go ahead.
We've been talking about gods up in here, and some people's god is their house, their BMW. God is not always a spiritual thing, and God said he is a jealous God.
Well, that's right, and he can ping us anytime he wants to, and that's the whole point of this conversation. Go ahead quickly.
There is a Christian sect that I have met persons from in Los Angeles, California, who say they do believe this is the end. They do believe that they will be made to conform, and that their commitment to Christ is that when the men come to the door and say, do it, you say no, you get down on your knees, and you say, kill me. I ain't doing it.
Wow. Here's something to think about, too. One of the things you always hear about in the Bible is transfiguration. You have to change in order to get into heaven. You have to change your body, your whole body chemistry. We have to change ourselves before we even go to space, before we even meet our makers, before we even meet the aliens. That is the whole point. Okay? All this talk about disclosure, all this talk about wanting to know the truth. The truth is that we have to change inside of us. We have to prepare for the possible idea that our evolution is about to change. Go ahead quickly.
I think I'm maybe going through the change because extraterrestrials show up over my home every night in Southwest Washington.
Thank you, man. Thank you for that. We're going to wrap up here, but I want to thank you all for coming out. Thank Dantes. Give them a round of applause, please. Do you have something you want to rap for us tonight? Are you really? Okay, cool. We're going to have that. I just want to also give thanks. Thank Janine tonight. Janine Duffy for some of these pictures that she's made. Give her a big hand, please. She does a lot of great work, and she loves to hear the applause. She's not here. She's taking care of little Liam tonight, so there you go. So, Drew, you got something for us tonight?
Yeah, it's relevant, man. I didn't know that you were doing it on
the subject matter at hand, man, but what I have is relevant for it.
Drew is a street poet. I'd like you to give your undivided attention to Drew because he does amazing work. He's been here before at the lounge. He's rapped. He's done street poetry. Give a listen. Here he is. Drew, go ahead. Give us what you got.
Almost close, yet so far from salvation. Oh, how hard we can make it without wholehearted participation. Life often seems complicated and all kinds of discombobulated, but discombobulated when we disregard our obligations. Karmic law responds spontaneous. In the land of the lost causes, the godless, the faithless, we have got to remain conscientious, modest, and gracious. Acknowledge the cosmic arrangement of all that is sacred, from the smallest of follicles to the largest constellations. What a marvelous sensation, finally finding revitalizing self-realization, insides rising and shining alive with radiance, feeling that healing vibration, that timeless gyration. We are relentless vengeance, descendants of the ancients. Redemption for the slave ships. Old souls cultivating close to the same thing as sages. We break chain links and we break them cages. Outrageous. No bondage could contain us. There's too many common problems for all this separation. Our true nature confiscated, but a small group can change this. You see, the truth is, revolution is continuation.
Drew Slum, give him a big hand. ZeroPointRadio.com, give them a hand tonight for putting us on the air. Jared, thank you so much for producing tonight. Give him a hand. Remember, tip your waitresses, buy a piece of pizza, drink some beer. You're at Dante's. Karaoke from Hell is up next. We'll see you next week from Ground Zero Lounge. Good night.